your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Thursday's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, Thursday, August 6, 2020. Your boy Q here with you. As always, you know you can find me on Twitter at yourboyq254. Easiest way to get a hold of me. That's what I check the most, and that's what I kind of reference the most. So if you're ever trying to get a hold of me quick, fast, and in a hurry for some reason, maybe you want to pass a message along. Maybe you can't get the show to download. Maybe you can't find the show. A lot of times that's been happening. I think Google Play has been messing up as of late. I know Apple had a little bit of an issue on Wednesday, but if you ever had those kind of issues, do not hesitate. And if you're on Twitter, to hit me up at yourboyq254 and just let me know. You know, just pass that message along. I definitely appreciate that. So coming up on today's show, very excited about it. Very excited about every show that I'm on, especially when I get any opportunity to talk Raiders football. It's always a lot of fun. But coming up on today's show in segment number three, your calls and your texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number again, 707-654-4693. Segment number two, it is training camp time. And I know that there hasn't been any kind of real activity heard from the head coach, heard from the quarterback, heard from the offensive coordinator, you know, heard different people talk so far. Henry Ruggs III, he was somebody that had a little media session, but there hasn't been any real activity, been a lot of walkthroughs and a lot of COVID-19 tests. So when it does come down to training camp, what are the keys to having a successful training camp, especially this year, dealing with COVID-19, not having OTAs, not having rookie minicamp, not having any preseason. So what to me are the biggest keys to having a successful training camp and giving yourself an opportunity in the 2020 regular season? That's what we're going to talk about in segment number two. Here in segment number one, as I do on the daily, I give you the news and the notes to get you updated on everything that you need to know that's going on with the silver and black. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And I don't know if you could tell, but I kind of got a smile on my face. And it's not because I ever am happy when people get released. I mean, that's not my style. But the first piece of news I got to get to, Jeremy Hill released 2 days after signing. That's right, running back Jeremy Hill, a guy that I talked about a couple days after he was signed. Well, he's only been signed a couple days, but when the news broke on Friday, I believe I talked about him on Monday's podcast and said I wouldn't get too up in arms about Jeremy Hill. He really hasn't done anything in the league since 2016. I've had a couple people tell me that, oh yeah, but you know, maybe he could still do something. I think that, you know, he could still be a player. You know, he had an ACL surgery, so now he's fully healthy. Look, he hadn't done anything in the league since 2016. 2017, he only had a handful of carries. 2018, handful of carries. 2019, nada. Absolutely nada. Matter of fact, 2018, he only played in one game and then tore his ACL. 2019, he didn't do anything. So I said multiple times on Monday's show, don't expect much from Jeremy Hill. Well, don't expect even that much. I don't even think he got a cup of coffee in Las Vegas. He had tweeted out on a Saturday, I believe, or maybe it was even Sunday, it's official, I'm a Raider. And then on Wednesday, he tweeted out, that was fast, because the Raiders ultimately released him. I told you on Wednesday that running back Devontae Booker had returned from the COVID-19 list. He had been activated off that. So the Raiders turned around and released Jeremy Hill. The one thing it does tell me, if you want to try to find the silver lining, it shows that they have some confidence and they have some belief and they want to see what Devontae Booker can do, because I kind of think he's a camp body as well and he's really going to struggle to make the final roster. But this kind of shows that they have a little bit of belief and they feel pretty good about his chances going into camp, because as soon as he was activated, they let Jeremy Hill go. So he was clearly just a placeholder until Booker came back. Booker's back. Jeremy Hill is gone. Now, my next piece of news here is something that I don't think the Raiders even wanted to be news. As a matter of fact, I know it's something that the Raiders don't want to be news or didn't want to be news, but it is out there now. Early on Wednesday, Mike Garofalo from NFL Network, he brought up something that John Gruden and company did COVID-19 related, and it was really a teaching moment, but it's really put out there as they kind of played a joke and a prank, and we briefly talked about it on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio on Wednesday, and I know for a fact John Gruden did not want to get that out the building or let that out the building, and that's something I kept saying on the radio, like, yeah, I understand what they were doing, but I don't think that it should have gotten out of the building. Some things you don't need to tell everybody. Some things don't need to leave the walls of the building. Some things it's better to stay in-house. So I'm going to let Mike Garofalo explain to you exactly what happened between John Gruden, the coaching staff, COVID-19, how this became a teaching moment. Check it out.
I want to relay a story I heard last week because this is pretty telling about how teams are approaching how things are right now in the COVID world, and that is the Raiders players logging on to a Zoom call last week expecting to see John Gruden. Instead, they saw Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach and the assistant head coach. Bisaccia told them, guys, Coach Gruden has COVID, and he's at the hospital now, and he's being taken care of, and the players were taken aback. Whoa! They shortly thereafter told him, you know what? We're just putting you on a little bit. And it wasn't a joke. What it was the team illustrating to the players that this could happen at any moment to anybody. And mind you, this was a couple days before Doug Peterson with the Eagles tested positive. So the point to the players was, you've got to stay ready. You've got to stay ready. Everybody's got to stay ready because this virus that Gruden himself said that they want to crush could pop up, and it doesn't discriminate. So this is something we could face some point in the season, whether it's our head coach, our starting quarterback, whatever. So just to illustrate to you guys, here's a little exercise. And the players really took it to heart from what I'm told. And now going forward, know that everybody's got to be on the ready because of the world that we are living in right now.
Now, again, it made sense. I understand what they did. I understand that they were trying to prove a point and make a teaching moment. But once that word got out of the building and social media, you know, if you've listened to this show long enough, I call it a cesspool, especially Twitter. It is a cesspool. Once that got out and everybody and their mother started writing about it, then you knew that it wasn't going to go over well. So I know so many people are saying this is a classless act. Think, leave it to the Raiders to go ahead and pull something like that. Of course, John Gruden would do that. And like I said before I even played that clip, I know for a fact John Gruden did not want that out of the building. And so, unfortunately, it got out of the building. They made up a good point because it could happen to anybody, anytime, anywhere. I get that. But that kind of information, that kind of stuff should be stayed inside the building, stay inside the walls there of the facility or on the Zoom call, and should have never got out to the media. Nobody should be talking about it. And you heard Mike Garofalo at the beginning say he heard about this last week. So unfortunate for the Raiders that got out there. It's going to be one of those things that's going to be talked about for a while. And like I said, every single outlet has picked up on it, and they're talking about it and writing articles about it. So again, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. Another piece of news that I have for you, I talked about Deion Jordan on a Wednesday show and said that he would be a guy that I'd be interested in the Raiders actually bringing to camp and seeing what he has, because I don't think that the Raiders got to see too much of him. And he's a guy that I wasn't even high on when they signed him, just because, well, his whole career has been basically a wash. You know, he was a former first round pick. Matter of fact, he was picked very high because the Dolphins traded with Reggie McKenzie. That's the year that DJ Hayden was selected. The Raiders traded back, I believe, to spot number 12, and Miami went up to number 3, and they got Deion Jordan. He washed out in Miami. Then he spent 2 years in Seattle, and he kind of rebuilt his reputation. He played 7 games in 2019 for the Raiders after serving a 10-game suspension, and he did okay. He had 2 sacks, 5 tackles, and 159 defensive snaps, and he had 13 quarterback pressures and 113 pass rushes. That's according to Pro Football Focus. So, again, very small sample size of what he could do or what he did do in 2019, so I wouldn't mind seeing him get into camp and actually compete, but he didn't get that opportunity because the San Francisco 49ers, as I mentioned on Wednesday, are indeed going ahead and signing him. They had brought in Ziggy Ansah as well, and they just decided they were going to go on with Deion Jordan. Jordan. So Deion Jordan, who played with the Raiders for 7 games in 2019, is now a member of the San Francisco 49ers. And my final piece of news and little nugget I have here for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast is actually something that's pretty personal for me, and it has to do with Ricky's Sports Bar. I've told it many times before. I told the wife when we went to Oakland, we went to the Bay to that last Raider game against Jacksonville, that if you're going to be in the Bay, if you're going to be around the Coliseum, if you're thinking about anything Raiders related, you got to go by Ricky's Sports Bar. And again, anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a long time knows that we did go by Ricky's, and it was not the experience that I expected. It was not the experience that I'm used to. Well, word came out in the East Bay paper, I think it's the East Bay Times in the Bay Area, obviously, put out a story that Ricky's Sports Bar might actually have to close down due to COVID-19, and they're just not able to get the bills paid. And that just hurt me to my heart, man. That place has been there. Ricky Ricardo, it's Tina and Ricky Ricardo, they run the bar. Ricky's father built it more than 50 years ago. At one point, Sports Illustrated rated it the #2 bar in the country, and now it's so close to closing down. And that's sad. That's just sad to me because, again, that's been the mecca, man. That's been the home. That's been home base for Raider Nation and anybody else who's a sports fan just to go there and enjoy whatever game. I've seen NBA Finals there. I've seen Raider games there. I've seen playoff games. I've been there so many times, and I have so many memories and had so much good food and so many good drinks and shared so many good laughs. To see that Ricky's might shut down because of COVID-19 really stinks. Now, apparently someone who is a longtime customer actually started a GoFundMe page, and they're trying to raise, and I don't know, because in the article it looks like it's supposed to say $100,000, but it says 100, then a comma and 00. So it might be $10,000 or it might be $100,000. But so far on their GoFundMe page, they've raised just under $3,000. So it just kind of stinks, man. I hate that for them. I know a lot of businesses. I know a lot of families. I know a lot of people in this country are struggling due to COVID-19 and just not being able to pay their bills. But I just hate that for Ricky's, and I hope that they're able to bounce back. I don't know. It's a rough deal. And then I found out by way of the same article that Ricky Ricardo, who has been running the business side of the bar for a while, actually was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, and he's in the hospital right now due to complications. I didn't even know that. And that kind of makes me understand why the service that we got when we were there in 2019 was the way it was. The way the place was being ran, it wasn't right. And I understand why now. They have a lot of things going on. And so that stinks, man. So anyone who has been to Ricky's or knows about Ricky's, man, just think about them one time, man. And like I said, I know a lot of people in the country are dealing with things, but man, that sucks. I really, really do like Ricky's Sports Bar. I hope someone from the Raiders might hear this. Maybe John Gruden, maybe Mark Davis, maybe somebody, and they could just go ahead and shoot Ricky's a little bit of love, man, because Ricky's is always shown and represented for the Raiders. And so I would love for John Gruden to get a hold of this article or maybe hear this podcast. Maybe I'll say it on the radio. Matter of fact, I will. I'll say it on the radio later on today on the Silver and Black Today show, and maybe he'll hear it. I don't know. Maybe someone inside the building there in Henderson can hear it, and they can give him a little lifeline. Man, I think that'd be really, really cool. I know that they're in Vegas and they're doing everything for Vegas, but I don't like turning my back on anyone, especially Ricky's, because they've always held it down for the Silver and Black. So I just thought I would say that and you know, just show them as much respect as possible, because like I said, man, they've always been down for Raider Nation. So that's all I got for you for segment number one, today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, what do I think will make a successful training camp? I will give you the keys to a successful training camp coming up in segment number two. Before I do that, everyone knows for now that I'm a very, very busy dude. I mean, I've always been a busy dude, ESPN Central Texas, the podcast, covering football games all over the place. You know, I try to stay as busy as possible, but now I've all of a sudden added the Silver and Black Today show to my plate. And I'll tell you, speaking of my plate, when I got off the air on Wednesday on the Silver and Black Today show, I was starved. I was looking to eat anything, man. I could have ate a cow raw. I was so hungry, man. And so I was thinking about what I should do because I had more work to do. And I said, you know what I need to do? I need to go ahead and use DoorDash because I can continue to work. I can order some good food. It'll come right to the house. Touchless transaction, you know what I mean? And they could just leave it at my doorstep. I can run downstairs, grab it, and then go. So for someone like me who's on the go and is super busy and don't just have time to stop down and get some food and make some dinner and all that other stuff, I could use DoorDash, and that's what I was able to do on Wednesday. And right now, Raider Nation, if you want to use DoorDash, all Locked On Raider podcast listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. And you know that's only like a burger and fries. Nowadays, $15 is nothing. So you'll get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more if you download the DoorDash app and enter the code Locked On. $5 off your order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and use the promo code Locked On. Again, one more time for the folks in the back row, promo code Locked On will get you $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Thursday, August 5th, 2020. And it is time to talk about training camp and what I believe will be the keys to a successful training camp, because as we know, things are a lot different than what we're used to. So we've had this conversation on the Silver and Black today, and I love that I can reference that show because we talk about different subjects and sometimes bring it up. And a lot of times these kind of things will spark my my mind and say, you know what, I need to go into a little bit more detail about this on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So then I'll bring it to the podcast. So I love doing this show and love having just the wheels turning all the time. I mean, we all know I love to work, but this is kind of a really cool and neat situation and neat scenario that I have going on each and every day. So I'm very excited about it and love the early early feedback that we're getting from a lot of different people. A lot of good feedback. Got to shout out Brother Marquise in the 305 one time. He was representing. He called into the show. PE in North Carolina called into the show. Just Win Wendy called into the show. I mean, there's been so many people. H in Albuquerque called in on the first day. So many people have called in, man, and really, really definitely do appreciate that. So we started talking about training camp, and we had Tashawn Reed on from The Athletic, and I basically asked him, you know, how quickly can some of these players, these young dudes, get up to speed? And you know, he felt like it was going to take him some time to get up to speed and get into the regular season. Might not see a lot from them early, but maybe later on in the season you can count on them. So I just want to kind of expand on that conversation and talk about my keys to a successful training camp for the Raiders in 2020 with all the weird, crazy, unhealthy, just strange stuff that's going on due to COVID-19 and everything that's surrounding that. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. So my number one key, I just kind of mentioned it, was COVID-19. My number one key to a successful training camp for the Raiders in 2020 is getting out healthy. COVID-19 related and injury related. If you remember back in 2019, Gabe Jackson went down when they had that scrimmage against the Rams, and that was a blow to the offensive line. Now, look, I think the Raiders and Tom Cable did a heck of a job covering up that hole. I think that they did a really good job with the guys that they had filling in, and it really didn't look like the Raiders offensive line missed a beat. But we all do know, even me, who said many times that I thought Gabe Jackson was kind of on his last legs when it came to the Raiders, when he's 100% healthy and 100% engaged, he is a force. I mean, there's a reason why he had a second contract with the Raiders. There's a reason why he's been to a Pro Bowl. I mean, that dude is a dude. You know, he's a heck of a player. So this is the thing. If they can get out healthy as far as COVID-19 goes, I mean, that's the number one concern. John Gruden mentioned it before. They got to beat that COVID-19. Derek Carr mentioned it. Got to beat COVID-19. That goes for everybody in the league. But then on top of that, injury-free to key players. You know, I'm talking about the offensive line. I'm talking about defensive line. I'm talking about guys that you expect to be starters, guys that you expect to be key contributors. Gabe Jackson, I remember when he went down, everybody, including myself, was like, oh, man, that's a major piece. You don't want something like that. You don't want to put your hand in your head and say, dang it. You know, this is just like, here you go again. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want that. So that is the number one key. I mean, I believe that's the number one key across the league, but right now we're just talking about the Raiders. So number one, get out healthy, COVID-19 related and major injury related to any of the major players that you expect to be big time contributors, either veterans or rookies. Now, my next key, young guys getting up to speed as quickly as possible. And when I mean that, I mean understanding what they need to do. Matter of fact, I asked Vinny Bonsignor, I asked him before we passed the sticks on to him. I said, how long does it normally take when he's covering a training camp? How long does it normally take to see a young guy and realize that he's out there just playing and not thinking? And that's what I mean when I say up to speed. these guys, the Damon Arnetts, you know, the Amik Robertsons, the Henry Ruggs, you know, the Brian Edwards, all these guys, all these young dudes, you know, John Simpson, even as a depth piece on the offensive line, all these guys that are young and on the come up, they have to get up to speed as quickly as possible without the use of OTAs and rookie minicamp and none of those you know, practices. Everything has been virtual. So yeah, they were out in the park, but it's a different ball game. Now it's about doing what you do on the grass and showing who you can be. So all the rookies, every one of them, you know, at what point do you stop thinking and you just start doing? And that's like with anything. When you're new at something, when you're thinking about it, you're not going to be as good as you would be if you just go and do it. You know, how I am right now in radio, I feel like I could just jump on the radio. And don't get me wrong, I'm prepared. I'm always prepared. But I could just jump on the radio and talk, and I don't really think about it. I just go. Back in the day when I first started, when I was a new booty, I would think about it. And that's when you start, that's when you mess up. And in football, when you're thinking, you're a step slower. One step slower is all you need to be. It might not be that noticeable to the average person, but one step slower will get you burnt. One step slower, Tyreek Hill's past you. One step slower, Travis Kelce's past you. You know what I mean? All these guys, speaking of Travis Kelce, how about Nick Kwiatkowski and Corey Littleton? I know that they're not young dudes as far as rookies, but they're new guys on the defense. How quickly can they know what Paul Gunther wants them to do and then adapt that to what they're supposed to be doing on the field and not think about where they're going or dropping back to or what kind of scheme they're supposed to be in? You know what I mean? If one's rushing the pass or if one's dropping in coverage, what are you doing? The quicker they can just... boom, just do it, that's when they're going to start contributing. So that's one of the things that's going to be a major key coming out of training camp. How close to up to speed are these young guys? And when I mean young guys, I mean free agents as well. How quickly can they be used and counted on in the regular season? Because look, you have a game, the first game of the year is against the Carolina Panthers. They're behind the eight ball in a major way. They got a brand new head coach. They got a brand new offensive coordinator. They got a brand new quarterback. They got a lot of new parts. I mean, they're a whole different team. Really, the only thing that's the same about the Carolina Panthers is Christian McCaffrey. But everything else is different. And I know I said new offensive coordinator. Joe Brady is their offensive coordinator. And yes, he's been an OC before, but I mean with Carolina. So they have a lot of new moving parts. The Raiders need to prepare themselves for week one and be able to be faster. And I mean faster as far as reaction time, everything, than the Carolina Panthers. They need to know that playbook and know all their coverages and all their responsibilities as quickly as possible. Another key, and I just got a couple more. Another key is establishing quality depth, because this year in particular, you're going to need more quality depth than ever before. And I'm really looking at the trenches. I'm looking at the O-line and I'm looking at the D-line. I do think that the trenches are probably going to be affected the most, especially with COVID-19. I just think that they're going to be the guys that are going to be set up not the most for failure, but they'll be the guys that I feel like are really, you know, in right there. They're in the midst of it. They're in the core of it. They're in the eye of COVID-19 or the possibilities of COVID-19 every time they take the field, because like I said, they're in tight, they're lined up tight, and they're all on the line of scrimmage, either offensively or defensively. So you got to have that quality depth for the Raiders. I think the offensive line has a lot of quality depth. I'm not that confident about the right tackle position, but everything else behind the besides the right tackle, I think is really, really good. Also, you're going to need some guys that be able to step up and be playmakers. You know, if a Henry Ruggs is not getting it done, you're going to have someone that's going to be able to fill in that slot. If Tyrell Williams isn't going to get it done, is Brian Edwards ready? You know, how much can you get out of Lynn Bowden Jr.? So you've got to get that quality depth where you have a lot of talent on the team, and you have to have a lot of good quality talent on your practice squad, because you might have to go to them sooner than you really want to because of, well, COVID-19. So a lot of the rules have been adjusted and changed due to what the NFL and what the country is doing with COVID-19. Now, my next key, make sure your players are in football shape or as close as possible. You can't really get into football shape just with training camp. You can't. You have to have games being played. You'll see, and we see it every year. I feel like the first four games of every regular season are really used as training camp, because in training camp and preseason, you don't see your starters out there very much. They don't want to get injured. So they're in shape, Not PJ Hall shape, but they're in shape, but they're not in football shape where they're just clicking on all cylinders. So usually you start to see the second quarter, and in the second quarter, I mean week 5, 6, 7, 8. That's when you start seeing guys really, really clicking on all cylinders and like, okay, that guy is now in football shape. So you want to get these guys in football shape as close as possible as you can, but just know that they won't be in football shape when they come out of training camp. It's impossible unless you're playing games, unless they're actually getting action on the grass, and it's not happening with no preseason game, so it's just not going to happen. And then the final one, my final key to a successful training camp for the Raiders, come out of camp as a family. You know what I mean? Come out as camp as a family. Be joined at the hip. Love each other. Want to be around each other. Want to play for the man next to you. Want to trust the man next to you. That's another thing. You got to trust. So that trust is part of being a family. Like, I trust my brother to be here for me, to do his job so I don't have to overcompensate. A lot of times when you see blown coverages, it's somebody trying to be a hero because, well, they don't trust the guy next to him. So the Raiders have to have a bond. They have to come out as a family and be able to trust each other, be able to rely on each other, and want to go out there and perform for each other. It's going to be a major, major key. And I'll say right now, for the most part, I feel like this Raiders team, they're pretty stinking close to being a family. I really do believe that. As much as they've done in the offseason, as much as, you know, it sounds like they love being Raiders, they love being around each other. Again, I'm not right there sitting on top of them and watching their every move, but from a distance, it feels like they really enjoy being members of the Silver and Black. And so I think that they really will come out of camp as a family, but that is going to be a major, major key. What do you think will be a key to a successful training camp for the Silver and Black? Let me know about it. 707-654-4693. Your calls and texts are coming up next. And segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It is your time for your calls and your texts. 707-654-4693. What is on your mind today? First up is a text from Raider Cisco from the 760. And before I get into Raider Cisco's text, I got to sound the alarm one time. Because Raider Cisco from the 760 is a new booty. Say, what's up, Q? Hope everything is well. This is Raider Cisco from the 760. To start off, man, yo, Q, hit that beat. Because I'm a new booty. Congratulations on the Silver and Black Today Show. Well deserved. Q, I'm with you with the new culture the team is adapted to. Everything is looking bright in Silver and Black. Do you think linebacker Tanner Muse will crack the starting lineup? Why not? Who else do we really have? And the kid is hungry. Once again, congratulations on your accomplishments and continue your endeavors. Raiders, Raider Nation, just win, baby. That's from Raider Cisco from the 760. He is a new booty, and thank you so much for the compliments. Appreciate the love for the show. It's been a lot of fun. And as far as Tanner Muse goes, I don't think he's going to start. I think he'll start as a special teams guy. That's what Mike Mayock has already said, that that's going to be what he's going to do. He's going to be a special teams war daddy. But I'm with you on he's very hungry. He's a guy that is going to work his tail off. And at some point, I said this when the Raiders drafted him, he's going to be in that lineup, either because someone got injured or because he worked his tail off and worked his way into the lineup. I'm not mad at a guy like that. A guy like that, who a lot of people think was drafted too high, I think he's going to show a lot of good things, and I think Raider Nation is really going to like him. Again, there's a reason why the Raiders have so many guys from Clemson. They're coached correctly. They work hard, and they know about winning. It's going back to that culture. So to answer your question, yes, Tanner Muse will get on the field as a linebacker at some point. He's going to start off as a special teams dude, but yes, his work ethic, his hunger will get him onto the field as a linebacker at some point. Not exactly sure when, not going to say it's like immediately, but he will get on. You could trust me on that, because that's just the kind of dude that he is. So thank you so much for that. Appreciate you. Next up is a call from Raider Con Man, calling in to talk about the news of no fans in Allegiant Stadium in 2020. And he actually has a scenario he'd like to throw out there. Here he is, Raider Con Man.
What up, Q? Raider Con Man here. I was just thinking about some stuff with Raider Nation after the recent news of no fans being allowed at any games. And we all saw that coming. But I was thinking this. What if the Silver and Black go out this year and they show out? Everyone's getting pumped watching on TV. I mean, Vegas is popping off with new fans. And then here comes 2021, and we've already had a season where the Silver and Black is in Vegas. and the fans are just flocking in even more than they were going to in 2020, and probably have more of visiting fans. But now we got the silver and black kind of locked down after a great season. I mean, I'm looking at the positives of this, having no fans, and maybe that'll kind of weed out a little bit of the visiting fans that just want to get to Vegas for whatever reason and watch some football. Could you see that happening, that the Raiders go out and show out, have an amazing season, which we're all thinking is going to happen, and I know it's going to happen because the silver and black is looking strong, but making more and more fans be even more pumped for 2021, and they just take over Vegas. Could you see that happening, Q? All right, love the show. Raider comment out.
Raider comment, man. It's always good to hear from you, my man. Appreciate the call, and I can see what you're saying, and it would be dope to get the fan base juiced and excited about making their way to Allegiant Stadium, even if they don't have tickets to get in. You know, just ride and represent outside, and. You know, also at every sports bar in town, you know, I could definitely see that, but I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but I feel like something's going to get done so fans can enjoy something about the new facilities, the new stadium in Vegas in 2020. I know the sports bars are going to be representing if you can get people in, of course, but that's the biggest issue. Can you get people in? So thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Next up is a text from O'Hollerin' Raider. Congratulations on the Raider Nation radio gig, Q. I've been spreading the word, and the feedback is super positive. Really looking forward to Carr and the new-look offense getting their time on the field. It's going to be trial by fire, as everyone's going to be thrown into the frying pan right from the get-go. September will be here soon. Cheers, Raider Nation. Cheers, Q. Raiders. That's from O'Hollerin' Raider, and yeah, you know, I'm excited about the season as well. I'm hoping that, you know, we get to the season and everybody's basically on the same playing field. I'm hoping that, you know, everyone is as healthy as possible. When I say everybody, I mean the whole league. I don't want to see anybody go down. I don't want to see someone, you know, I don't want to see like Patrick Mahomes missing from the Chiefs. You know, I would like to see the league as we know it, very competitive, week in and week out, and a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'm excited about the opportunity. I think the Raiders are going to be really good this year. They have the opportunity to be really good, but they got to go execute on the field. We can say everything we want as fans. They can say everything that they want as players. Coaches can say whatever they want as the coach, but it all comes down to execution. What did John Gruden say in Hard Knocks? I want better blanking execution. That's what it all comes down to. Better blanking execution. Execution. Thank you. Anyway, next up is a call from RBK Raider. And before I get in that call, I got to sound the alarm one time because RBK Raider is a new booty. He's calling to talk about the pressure that the Raiders are going to have on them this year. Something I talked about, I think, last week. How many wins the team will need to get into the playoffs? That's another subject that he has on his mind. And like I said, welcome to the show, RBK Raider, new booty. This is what's on his mind. Here you go.
Q, what's going on? I'm a new booty. This is RBK Raider representing Riverbank, California, out of the 209. Just wanted to talk to you, man, and I agree. I think there's a lot of pressure on Derek Carr. And as well, John Gruden probably the most. But like you said time and time again, they are building a new culture. And I think we have a lot of the pieces in place. But, man, I think we have to win 10 games if we're going to be a wild card. AFC is pretty stacked. But, yeah, I'm so anxious to see what's going to happen. And as far as you mentioned, like, putting an asterisk next to this season, it's like, who's going to actually be there if we go up against a tough team and they don't have their star running back or their star wide receiver? Do you really get credit for winning that game? The way I see it is a win's a win. Barring injuries and all that, it doesn't matter. This is the National Football League. That's the way life goes. If people don't want to play, they don't want to play. Hey, I'll take it if everyone backs out of the AFC West and we just march right into the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl. You put an asterisk next to you if you want, but I will pay the money to go to that Super Bowl. But hey, just wanted to, you know, let you know, longtime listener. Love you, man. I hit you up on Twitter a couple times. You deserve everything you're doing, and you deserve to be a full-time representative of the Las Vegas Raiders. Almost said Oakland again because it's hard for me to admit that, but it is what it is, and we're moving up. We're trending up. So, hey, man, take care. Have a great day, and like I said, I listen to you every day. Hopefully my call gets played on the air. Have a good one, brother.
RBK Raider right there calling out the 209. I appreciate you, my man. Welcome to the Locked On Raider podcast family. I'm glad to know that you've been a longtime listener, just a first-time caller, and there's a lot of good stuff in that call, so I really do appreciate you. As far as the pressure goes, I think the team can handle it in normal circumstances, but we know that this year is not going to be a normal year, but I do think that they can handle it. You know what I mean? I think John Gruden's a seasoned veteran. He can handle it. He knows what's in front of him. He's got to get some of these new players, the young players, and free agents all on the same page, obviously, like I was talking about in segment number two. But I think John Gruden and company will be able to handle it. And look, you could be right. 10 wins is usually that number that you aim for if you're trying to make sure that you make the playoffs. Like, okay, you win 10 games, you're in. And normally, 9 times out of 10, that'll get you in. I'm just saying a 9-win season would at least show me that they have progress and that they continue to get better, and at least they're making that playoff push. I mean, look, they were in week 17 last year. They ultimately won 7 games. They were in week 17 last season, and they had an opportunity to get to the playoffs. So if they get 9 wins and maybe they fall a little short of the playoffs, I know damn well that they're in the playoff hunt until the bitter end. So I can live with that. You know what I mean? I feel okay about myself, if that makes any sense. So thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Just got time for a couple more, maybe at the most. How about Jeff in SoCal? He's calling saying, "Morning, Q. Great show as always. Keep doing what you do. I and the rest of Raider Nation greatly appreciate you. I'm so excited about what Olsen said about Bowden. I can't wait to see us with a dynamic offense. I completely agree with your take on Carr's statement. It's almost a reflection of what Mark Davis and John Gruden have been saying. He's tired of this team and his teammates being disrespected. And he knows the only way to earn that is with wins. It's not about me. It's about we to move forward, to win games, to destroy this virus. Have a great day." That's from One Nation Jeff in SoCal. Thank you so much for that text, my man. I appreciate you, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's all about winning. You know, there's a big debate. I guess everyone was talking about Derek Carr all day on Wednesday, and the big deal about it is, man, he can say whatever he wants to say. He can cut for whoever he wants to cut for, but ultimately, he's got to win games. You win games, a lot of issues go away. And he knows that because he said that even in his statement. So definitely appreciate that, my man. And I think I got time for one more call. I got more texts and calls that I wanted to get to, but I got time for one more call. And we're going to send that out to Border Jumper Raider one time. He's calling to talk about a quarterback idea that he has just in case Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota don't work out. Here he is, Border Jumper Raider, last call of the show.
Q, Border Jumper Raider. I have something coming. Something crazy just crossed my mind. And of the two quarterbacks that are Marcus Mariota and Derek Carr are sitting, you know, the season hasn't started yet. But what about this? Let's say Marcus Mariota doesn't work out. What about offering the Miami Dolphins something for Josh Rosen down the line? He's younger. He had a decent college career, not so great a pro career, but guys like coaches like John Gruden seem to take players like Josh Rosen and can make them better. Your thoughts? Hey, it's Wednesday, it's hump day. Everybody stay safe, wash your hands, wash your face, be good. Border Jumper Raider, just win, baby. Out.
Thank you so much for that call, my man. It's always good to hear from you. And yeah, it is crazy. You said you had a crazy thought in your head. That is crazy. No way I'm giving up anything for Josh Rosen. If you think, and this is not a disrespect to you, I'm just saying, if you think Raider Nation gets mad at Derek Carr, do you know how bad they would roast the team for bringing in Josh Rosen? Oh, man, everybody would be cussing John Gruden up and down the block. I mean, I already give him enough hell for bringing in Nate Peterman, but do you understand what they would do if he brought in Josh Rosen? And I know that Rosen really hasn't had a fair shake in the NFL. I get that. I mean, Arizona, never had a shot. Miami, never had a shot. Who knows what he's going to do? But I feel like he's one of those guys that is just, it's not going to work out in the NFL for him because he was in terrible situations. But look, people say that about Derek Carr all the time. So if it is okay for Josh Rosen, it might as well be okay for Derek Carr, who's actually done more in the league than Josh Rosen has done and probably ever will do. Josh Rosen has done literally nothing in the league except for come in, get drafted, and put his nose up in the air and say, "I'm going to make everyone who passed on me pay." Well, he hasn't made anybody pay. Only people have paid of Arizona for taking him and the Dolphins for trading for him. That's it, because both teams went out and got different quarterbacks after that. So, yeah, again, not dogging you. I'm just saying, no, I'm not giving up anything for Josh Rosen. If he ends up getting cut and he's out there in the free agent market and for some dumb reason John Gruden thinks, okay, well, he could be a third-string quarterback or whatever. We bring him into camp and see what he got later on, fine. But I'm not making a move and giving up anything. I wouldn't even give that failed P.J. Hall trade up for Josh Rosen. I'm serious. I wouldn't. I wouldn't even give up P.J. Hall at this point. And they already cut P.J. Hall. I wouldn't give him up for Josh Rosen. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't give them anything. Nada. Zero. Nothing. Sorry. Anyway, I said that was the last call. And looking at the time, it probably should be. But I only got one more text. So let me just go ahead and knock this one out. It's from T3 Raider Facts. He says, this is T3 Raider Facts with my five quick hits of the day. One more second-round pick from Reggie era is gone. P.J. Hall sent packing. Early word to the wise. Wherever you end up, dude, do yourself a favor and don't crack on local law enforcement. Two, speaking of seconds, second stringer Marcus Mariota is in a prime position right now. He just has to keep his head down, study, ramp up the work ethic, and patiently wait because you just never know. Three third-rounders primed and ready to go. I'm excited about getting Tanner Muse on the field, Brian Edwards in the red zone, and Lynn Bowden in some wildcat formations. These are the kind of shakeups that the silver and black can use. Four, the Raiders have to start winning the fourth quarter in 2020. So many times they faltered last year. This team needs to learn how to finish and finish strong. And I'll say before I go on, they need to start learning how to win the third quarter. They need to come out the locker room and figure out how to score. They scored five times in the third quarter in 2019. That's not going to win you any games. But you have a good point about the fourth quarter as well. Second half has to be a lot better. And five, his final note, with eight road games, the Raiders need to finish with at least five wins on the road. This, coupled with 4 to 5 wins at home, will get them where they need to be for the playoffs. Stay passionate, Raider Nation, because passion always outlives fashion. Again, that's from T3 Raider Facts. Thank you so much for that. Good stuff. Appreciate you. Appreciate everyone who chimed in on the Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Appreciate everyone who chimes in every single day on Raider Nation Radio 920. Silver and Black Today Show. Myself and Scott Goldbranson, 2 to 4 p.m. West Coast time. Appreciate all the positive feedback. Again, shout out PE in North Carolina. Brother Marquise in the 305 rep in Miami one time. Just Win Wendy. H in Albuquerque. Monster Mash Ken, he chimed in as well. I mean, so many people from the podcast that I recognize. Scott was like, hey man, are you having your family call? Yes. The Locked On Raider podcast family is exactly that, a family. And I don't even have to say call in, but everyone is locked in on the Raider Nation Radio. And if you call, I definitely appreciate that. So we'll do it again tomorrow. It'll be Friday. We'll finish off the week strong. More calls and texts off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, more news and notes of the day, and we'll see what else we jump into. So until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.